All right, welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, Thursday edition. Everybody loves the Thursday edition, Ira. You know why? Because it's Thursday, and why not? Your podcast, of course, is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. And if you're searching for the perfect certified Cadillac or pre-owned vehicle, then rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Mr. Kaufman. When you buy from Ed Morris, you get more peace of mind knowing every vehicle is inspected, warrantied, reconditioned, and given the Ed Morris seal of approval. Every certified Cadillac comes with a 6-year warranty, roadside assistance, and more. You don't have to change a tire, Mr. Kaufman. You don't have to get your precious typing hands dirty. Plus, get more savings. Drive a 2013 ATS for $16,985. Hurry in today to Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. To get more, click EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, you want to visit Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. See the dealer for all the details on the offers. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, another place to start your car shopping search as your podcast, Ira, marches toward the NFL draft. Two weeks away when people hear this all over the world, iTunes, Podbean, and right here on JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper, two in a row.
Joined by Mr. Lee DeKemper.
Lee DeKemper, two in a row. Back-to-back appearances. We're glad he's back on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz, and Lee's got something to say.
We had to control Ira here, Steve. He gets all excited about all the good deals at Ed Morris Cadillac. And he's out here sunning himself at Port Richey's Hooters. He just had his wings
and
the bird and the shirt. Yeah, you got your Ed Morris Cadillac shirt. But there's Springsteen in the background. We had to drag you off the dance floor here. You were grooving to Springsteen and Ed Morris Cadillac and the wings at Port Richey Hooters.
I have a problem that anybody that's not a Boss fan, I have a problem with. Now, Cummings would say he's not a Beatle. That was Roy's famous line. He's not a Beatle, Ira. He's not good enough. He's not Lennon. He's not McCartney.
Now, Ira, when
you got to see Springsteen as a live performer, he would get you more excited than even Dalvin Cook.
I'll tell you this real quick. I've seen Springsteen in concert, and to paraphrase Roy Cummings, he's not Eddie Van Halen.
Ooh, listen to this.
Springsteen's grandfather, didn't you go to high school with him in Canarsie?
Take it easy with you, Canarsie. So he's a Jersey boy over there. I'm a Brooklyn boy. What do we got on the menu today, Steven?
All right, we got a lot of bucks, of course, on the menu on your fantastic podcast, Ira. Now, look, we're recording this Monday night, late Monday, and late Monday afternoon, and the preseason schedule is announced 5:00 today. Now, we already know, we haven't seen it yet, but we already know the Bucks open twice on the road because of improvements, construction at the stadium, and then they come home for 2 games. Now, this opening with 2 games on the road, they did that last year, and it worked very well for them. Dirk Cutter had this team ready to play. What's your thought on preseason in general?
Well, I know you're already very excited, Steve, because you can't wait to go up to Jacksonville to watch these joint practices. I'm over there on my patio with a pina colada over there, Lee. We got Isbitz checking into the Motel 6, you know, in Stark, about 30 miles away, and then making the trek over. Look, Steve, I'm for anything that helps the Bucks, make the playoffs. Now, last year they had the preseason schedule. Steve, they went 9-7, first winning season since 2010. In the end, I don't think it's going to matter. I think the good news is that the improvements continue at Ray J. Steve, it's phase two of a 3-prong. You catch that one, DeKemper? 3-prong improvement plan, and I think it's all designed to enhance the fan experience and, in the bargain, try to tell these NFL poobahs that Raymond James Stadium is a heck of a site for another Super Bowl. And it seems like we've kind of been forgotten in that discussion, Steve. So it's another reason why these improvements are taking place. And if you have to play the first 2 games preseason on the road, so be it.
Do you think that it benefits the team hitting the road early, a couple of road trips? You're talking about when you said Jacksonville, that's going to be the week 2 game, and the Bucks are going to practice in Jacksonville for 2 days, have a day off, and then play a game against Jacksonville. This is what fans are thinking about. They the hardcores who listen to you, Ira, they want to know, is this an edge?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I'd like to see in the preseason, Lee. It seems like the Bucks play the same teams. You know, the Redskins, New England's been in there in the mix a little bit, Houston, and certainly Jacksonville and Miami, which we understand. You know, can we have a game against the Rams in Los Angeles or something? It might cost this bits a little coin.
That's where you're going. Okay,
that's where I'm going. A little trip to Kansas. Play the Chiefs. So, Steve, bottom line, it's preseason. Nobody even remembers the Buck preseason record last year, except for DeKemper, who's got a memory like an elephant, doesn't forget anything.
Lee loves preseason.
Speaking of the schedule, the real schedule. is coming out within about 17th, a week or 10 days. That's going to be big news. So we'll see what happens. We know who the Buck opponents are, Steve, regular season. We don't know the dates, so we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I might be the only guy who loves preseason
football.
I love preseason football. I love it. I actually will watch other teams in preseason. I love it.
That fourth game is tough to watch, Steve. It's tough to watch.
Ira, you've heard me on WDA 620.
Of course, my man.
Speak about preseason, right?
What do you call it?
The effete Peter King in his skirt-wearing ways should forget about this nonsense that they can't have an 18-game schedule. Canadian Football League's had an 18-game schedule forever. I don't hear anybody crying about that. The USFL had an 18-game schedule, and some players played in both the NFL and the USFL in the same year, which is like 30-some games. I didn't hear anybody crying back then. Get rid of this preseason nonsense. Have 18 games. Have two or three extra bye weeks.
Some coaches are going to say that two preseason games, Steve, are not enough to judge and shape your 53-man roster. That's going to be the objection to cutting the preseason from 4 to 2.
Well, it's a great tool for evaluating talent for the bottom of the roster.
And you got to give your veterans a little playing time, a little bit.
And with a new CBA with the limited practice time, I mean, the reps in preseason are a little more valued by the coaches, I think, than they were 20 years ago. But the NFL is never going to get rid of preseason because it makes money. It puts bodies in the seats. And
it's part of the season ticket package,
and
right,
people
Steve?
Watch it on television. FLA buying those preseason rights from the Bucks, they get huge ratings, tremendous ratings for those games. And I'm all in favor of the 18-game schedule. No problem with the 18-game schedule if they ever went to that. But the NFL knows that getting people all excited for a preseason game on August 15th, that fuels the fire, gets people excited. You want them pumped up. So, I mean, I love it. I mean, when you've got 8 months of no football and there's finally, I don't care who's hitting. Lee said on the radio last week he'd watch the Mexican Football League. I would too.
Lee, remember the anticipation of Jameis Winston's pro debut in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
There was a lot of interest in that.
Let's not be naive, gentlemen. We're talking money here. They go to an 18-game schedule. How many more, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars could the NFL rake in as opposed to preseason? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. The players won't let him go to 18, though. I don't see it happening.
Negotiations.
Yeah, negotiations.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean,
they throw a few nice things at the union's way.
There you go.
They'll fold.
Not only that. When we're talking about, we can't evaluate unless a lot. I'm not saying many. I'm not saying the majority. But a significant enough NFL coaches were also college coaches. Dirk Cutter, for example. How the heck could he figure out whittle his roster down and come up with a depth chart without a preseason game? Come on. NFL is the only level of football that has preseason games. Give me a break. Come on.
I agree with you. Years ago, they had 6 preseason games.
I remember those
games.
They cut it to 4. Everybody knows the fourth one is useless.
Did the NFL collapse as a result? Of course not.
No, not at all. I like the games.
To each his own, He likes Bette Midler too. So
I thought that was your wheelhouse.
That is me. But who'd you say you were going to see in Vegas?
But I'm not saying that the games aren't meaningless.
Britney Spears.
You said Britney Spears.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing Britney Spears. Who wouldn't?
Hey, the games are 100% meaningless. I'm not trying to say that they mean crap. And if it were up to me, I would sit down whoever your number one running back is on any given year. Don't play him in the preseason. I think it's patently stupid. But it's interesting nonetheless.
I'm like Elizabeth. I'd go see Britney Spears in a heartbeat in Las Vegas, too, if I had earplugs.
So, Lee,
the visual experience.
What you're saying is by August 10th, you're ready for some football.
Football right now, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And so are Buck fans. They're very excited about this upcoming season.
All right, Ira, you know what? We have some...
You got all kinds of sheets in front of you. Are those the plans for the Syria invasion, Steve? what's going on over there?
That's exactly what I got.
Very elaborate...
Yes. Access to Steve Bannon.
Very elaborate
plans. Well, we take some questions on Twitter from your podcast, and I was going to get to the questions later from your listeners. But one of them is about the schedule, so I thought, what better time is to throw it in here?
Who's writing this little?
This is from Justin Beetz, Beetz, not like your beet salad that you enjoy
is
so
it
much.
Justin or Jason?
JP. Irv.
Justin Beetz.
Irv.
Right. Justin Beetz.
All right.
So here's the question, Ari. You know who's on the calendar for the Bucks for the regular season schedule? If you could pick, what's the preferred opening day matchup for the Bucks? Who would you want them to play on opening day that presents the best scenario for them? And give me a date, a schedule, a team, a location. You know the deal.
I want the season opener at Ray J hot and toasty, and the Atlanta Falcons coming in. And I'll tell you why. First of all, the game against Atlanta got last season off to a proper start. That game was in the Georgia Dome. But then, Lee, and you know this, mid-season, Falcons came to town. I believe they dropped the Bucs to 3-5. Mm-hmm. Things looked dead in the water. Matt Ryan did whatever he wanted that day. I think they scored 43 points, Lee. There's a little payback coming towards the Falcons in Tampa. Mm. Now, it turned out Atlanta had a heck of a team. They probably, they should have beat the Pats. They should have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We didn't, you know, I got to give Izbitz credit. In September, especially after the Bucs won week one, I thought Atlanta had the look of a 5-11 team. I didn't think they were very good. Izbitz said they were a lot better than that, Ira. Turned out Izbitz was right. His only proper prediction in 2016. I think the Atlanta Falcons in Tampa, week one, what better time for the Bucs to flex their muscles a little bit and show everybody that last year was no fluke. I'm going with the Falcons at home. What do you got, Kemper?
Let me just counter.
Let you counter.
No, let me counter because you said I didn't make a right prediction all year. Okay. Perhaps the most right prediction that Lee and I made going back even before the season started last year was that the Bucs' lack of depth at receiver was going to destroy the team.
It did.
And it did. That was more of a sure thing than you mauling a bag of Doritos on game day. That's how good.
I also picked the Bucs to go 7-9. So, you know, I don't remember what you guys picked. 8-8.
Okay. Nice
try. With my money, I think the Bucs were like 9 wins or 9.5, something like that. Anyway, I won money. I picked the under in Vegas.
All right, what do you want to see for week one, Lee?
Oh, no, you won. The under-over was 6.
Was it
last
6?
Year on the back. So 6.5.
I think 6.5.
Yeah, no, you won. You took the over.
I know. I cashed my ticket a couple weeks ago in Vegas.
There you go, baby.
So, Lee, preferred game for opening day?
Preferred game. What do you
got? Well, obviously, you always want to see a home game opening day. But if I had my druthers, since they have to play the Packers at Green Bay, get it out of the way when it's still somewhat nice weather up in Green Bay. Because the weather turns like end of September.
And is that because you're going up to Green Bay?
Well, that's another reason, too. I don't want to deal with wearing a freaking winter jacket in October.
Yeah, Ira, that's a very bold call for you to want the Super Bowl champs in here.
Right
on opening day.
Town.
That's very bold.
You know, DeSean Jackson running right past the Raheem Morris on the sidelines. It's a beautiful vision over there,
Steve. That puts your team, and we're all Bucs fans here. We don't have to play pretend, Ira. This is in the newspaper. Okay, you're rooting for the home team. Do we want the Bucs possibly having an L to open the season?
Lee, the Falcons have administered some of the worst beatings the Bucs have taken in the last 5 or 10 years.
Well, part of that's Lovie Smith, but okay.
We certainly remember that national televised game in Atlanta.
Dirk Cutter lit up Lovie Smith's defense Christmas tree.
And last year, Steve, in Tampa, that game was not pretty from a Buc perspective. It was not pretty. Atlanta was very motivated because the Bucs had upset them in the Georgia Dome week one. They came in here in mid-year. And the Bucs sitting at 3-5, Steve, we thought they were done. We thought they were done, and next thing you know, they go 6-2 down the stretch, the second half of the season. Big springboard. Don't be scared. Be bold over there, Izbitz.
Yeah,
be bold.
I'm sorry, I can't believe you guys. Come on,
a full house, look, Lee. Full the dream, house, the hot sun beating down on
the
those
dream,
Falcons.
The dream matchup on opening day is the Jets coming to town with Josh McCown, and they knock his block off. They belt him into the next week for disgracing the Buccaneers franchise
and thanking him for Jameis.
And only his bits would come up with this.
The Bucs get up 33-0, and they build a lot of confidence. Hargraves with 3 picks, and then Bryce Petty comes in and they pour it on
Bryce Petty.
That's what you want.
Now, Lee, do I have to be a stick in the mud and say the last time that the Bucs opened with the Jets? Was an incredible game with Levante David's late hit.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, well, I was there, too. And that set the tone for that season. It really did.
Yeah.
It started the Josh Freeman downfall, of course.
Yeah, well.
He didn't play well in that game, but the Bucs had the lead.
I don't know if I can say this or not because it was told to me off the record. But.
Well, then you can't say it.
Well, it's so long ago.
You're a man of honor.
Don't pull Gary Shelton.
No. let's just say. Freeman was not all there mentally before the game.
Okay.
I'll just say that. And if you recall, the game started out, didn't the first possession, Freeman had to call 2 timeouts in the first possession.
Right. And I think the snap went behind him.
He
had to pick it up and almost got a safety.
It was in that game. Yeah, he called back-to-back timeouts.
There were some issues prior to the game, prior to the Bucs even being at the stadium.
Didn't they make breakfast?
I believe he missed breakfast.
That's documented.
That day.
That's documented. Yeah. He did miss breakfast. There were some issues with Freeman that day. And we didn't know at the time. I certainly didn't know at the time. But you know.
But Steve's saying this is a different Buck team. The Jets still stink. They stunk back then. I'm they saying, still stink.
Look, opening day, you want the easiest W.
I want to make
schedule.
A statement, and you want a pansy coming to town.
Exactly. Yeah. So that just says it all, Iris.
Physical revenge on Josh McCown.
You're a little scared of those Falcons, Steve. You're a little scared. You're a little scared.
That's not who I want on opening day. I don't want. I think this team needs continued confidence. One thing that Dirk Cutter mentioned, I wrote about it on Monday. It was just some more audio I pulled from him chatting in Phoenix. He talked about how the young players on the Bucs roster, they don't know anything about losing. They don't know about losing streaks and breaking 5 years of the NFC
South. The guy like Dotson and McCoy that do know about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, Cutter himself said, you know, these guys don't know about last place in the NFC South and that kind of stuff. But he specifically mentioned the Gerald McCoy's quote, the Lavonne Davids, they know about losing. And they might have expected that kind of stuff. Well, I thought that was a big statement from the head coach acknowledging that, yeah, there's a sort of a mental divide in the team of the guys who expect to win and the guys who are now like real happy because we're transitioning out of that. I don't want any this team going 0-1, so give me the easiest game.
Lee, have you ever seen, in all your experience, you go back almost as long as I do, a guy who can milk a bunch of quotes like Isbitz in terms of Cutter? He puts them out one at a time like he's squeezing out of a milk bottle.
I'm almost as bad.
He's probably still got Joel Glazer stuff from Phoenix.
I do.
He's unbelievable. I shot my load in two columns. I'm done. I'm spent.
It's okay. A family podcast.
When were you guys in Phoenix? When were you guys in Phoenix, Ira? Irv, when were you in Phoenix?
It's a family pie. Did you hear it?
Yeah, Irv, when were you in Phoenix?
2 weeks ago.
And when was the combine?
The combine was 5 weeks ago,
and
6 weeks ago.
A couple days ago, I was using a quote I got from Cutter at the combine.
Nicely done.
As Isbitz.
Isbitz is unbelievable, but man. He'll be quoting Joel Glazer until the season opener.
But I got to admit, I got to give credit where credit is due. Steve is excellent at that. I don't know if I'm at Steve's level, but you know who blows us away? Florio. Florio will take nothing and make a 15-minute segment out of it.
No question about it. Keep up the good work, Isbitz.
Ira, seriously. All right, let's move on here. Hard Knocks. Now, by the time this episode pops here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, we may know that the Bucs are on Hard Knocks. Despite what was written in the Tampa Bay Times, I don't think there's anything has changed.
Where was it written, Steve?
In the local newspaper,
Tampa Bay Times. The one I don't get.
The one that decided that you weren't worthy of their staff.
Fools, correct. Correct.
Despite what was written, I don't think anything's changed on the Hard Knocks front. The Bucs are prepared for it, which any team that is possibly eligible should be.
They're not dead set against it, Steve.
They're not dead set against it. You know, why be dead set against something that's out of your control? They have to adjust if it comes. Now, I think
it would be great for Joe Bucs fan because who's better than DeKemper and Isbitz to monitor everything that's going on? And if you guys will write 42 stories a day.
We will. Absolutely.
I think it's a great thing for Joe Bucs fan.
That would be more interesting than the practices themselves, honest to goodness.
It will be very interesting. Two elements of that, though, Ira. Now, some of the stuff we can't share on the podcast, but a lot of the stuff, unfortunately. But Dirk Cutter is a master of mind games with his team. And many different examples that we've seen. A master of manipulating the mentality of the Bucs. And I think it held true that he had great success. I think Hard Knocks allows the coach to play all kinds of mind games. And I think the Bucs Cutter has already started. He wants his players knowing now, whether they're picked or not, that, oh, man, we are ready for this, we deserve this, and we know how to handle this, and this thing is nothing. Now, I don't know if he really believes that, Ira.
But that's going to be the message.
But that already is the message, and maybe you can give your thoughts on that.
I agree with you about Cutter with the mind meld, Lee. He's very good at it, plays some games with a relatively young team. And let's admit it, he's been successful. He went 9-7 in year one when most rookie coaches flop, or many of them do. So Cutter's well on his way, you know. It works well with the GM. Steve, you're not wrong. And as far as Hard Knocks is concerned, Lee, having made that trip to Phoenix, running it past ownership, Jason Light, and Cutter, I wouldn't say they're necessarily going balls to the wall. How do you like that one, Isbitz? In terms of securing this thing, Lee, but I got the impression we wouldn't mind it. We think we can handle it. We think we have
He's
the
playing
locker
the mind
room
games on you
to
right?
handle it.
Well, I had talked to with a I had spoken with a Bucks coach back at the Shrine practices back in January, and that subject came up. And this coach said, and he's gone through it before. He was an assistant at a previous team that went through Hard Knocks, and the coach told me after the second day, you don't even know it. The fact that some fans claim us as a distraction is so blown out of proportion, even funny. And I'll even say that I wrote this on Monday morning. I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com. If someone thinks that one or two extra cameras at practice is a distraction, where there's cameras already all over the place, if you think that's a distraction, then there should be no televised games. Because guess what? There's a dozen cameras at a game, not mentioning the ones on the sidelines the teams use. So if you think that's a distraction, then there should be no game on TV. Because if you want a distraction, you want it in practice, not at a game. So that is just, I can't speak enough. And the people that think it's distractions, you have no freaking clue what you're talking about.
Steve, I got a question for the panel here, this august panel.
August.
If it happens, and I think we'd all agree there's a decent chance that it will happen, that the Bucks will be on Hard Knocks. Winston, clearly you'll be focal point number one. I understand that. But I'll throw out to the panel, name a guy who could emerge sort of out of the shadows almost and sort of warm up that camera. I'm gonna start off with my guy. I'm going to go with Kwon Alexander. Kwon Alexander is nothing but pure passion and energy, and I think cameras love that, Steve.
All right, two things. I want to hit on two things here. I'm going to answer your question. Lee, you can prepare your answer. But first, I want to say this.
I'm going to be taking notes.
I think I'm going to say this before anybody else says it. I think Dirk Cutter is totally pulling a mind game. I think he's got no interest in Hard Knocks being here. I think one of the more interesting elements of this is that, first, as Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com has said many times, the teams have final say what can be shown. They have ultimate veto power if they want something off the air. They don't want it to make the cutting, they want it to end up on the cutting room floor. And I think that Hard Knocks knows in advance that they're not going to get anything from Jameis that the team hasn't sanitized, been through.
Sure.
Completely. And I think Hard Knocks probably isn't that as interested as they might be because they're not going to get anything controversial. And I think Cutter, I agree with Lee completely. I think Cutter knows it's a distraction and he doesn't really want it. He's playing the mind game to set his team
up. So he has a public posture.
Public posture of no big deal, but I don't think they want any bit of that at all. I don't think they do. I just really don't. Yeah, a lot can go wrong and... why would the Bucks necessarily?
All right, now
want that?
Answer my question.
Kwon Alexander, I think absolutely not. I don't think he's got any kind of. He'll yell a lot and say some fun things, but I don't think he's got the personality made for TV. He's having talked to him as we all have. He's difficult to understand.
Who are you going with?
Who am I going with?
You going with McCoy? Who McCoy with his comic book figures?
No, I don't think McCoy's very interesting. I think Robert Ayers is an unsung guy. He knows the fun thing to say, and
he laid the law down last year.
He's got the intensity, and he's got a lot of polish. So I'd go with Ayers on the offensive side of the ball. I think they probably look toward a guy we don't know, maybe like a Joe Hawley.
Could be a Joe.
Who's
Hawley.
Known for being a character and a wise guy.
Of course, Joe Hawley could be a backup at that point.
Right,
Lee.
but Hard Knocks is all about the backup. Okay. They like those guys as well as the big names.
The backstory. Yeah.
Yeah,
Lee,
first off, what Steve said about the distractions, the coach I talked to, given his druthers, no, they wouldn't want it. But that's typical football coach paranoia. As my football coach told me in high school, a guy who played for Gene Stallings and Tom Landry and John Madden and Lou Holtz, distractions are distractions if you let them be. A freaking bird flying through the sky is a distraction. Come on.
Now Steve, you didn't say the Glazers would not like Hard Knocks.
No,
you didn't say that.
I think the Glazers would be happy to have Hard Knocks. Happy to have it. Hey, Dirk, manage it. This is part of the NFL. Do your job. So all I'm saying is I don't believe Dirk Cutter. There's the public posture and the non-public posture. Plus, with the team going on the road, which we already talked about, for the first two road games and a joint practice trip, that means following guys around a hotel room where it's not the same environment where maybe they know the cameras are everywhere at $1. I think
Lee, if Cutter gets the vibe from ownership that, hey, let's embrace this Hard Knocks.
Well, he's an employee. Of course he's got to swallow it.
I don't care what Cutter thinks. He's going to jump in with both feet.
If the guy's cutting a check, say we want it, then you better toe the line.
Who's your pick on who could emerge as a...
I agree with Steve about Kwan. See, TV cameras look for charisma and personality. Kwan doesn't have a personality. Now, on the field, he may, but behind the scenes, you've talked to him in the locker room. He's bland. Not quite as bland as Lavonnie David, but he's bland. The only thing I could see interesting out of Kwan Alexander is when he does his sit-downs with Mike Smith every morning. But how much can you get out of that? Very little. I'm thinking Dotson. Dotson's got a pretty good personality.
Dotson, interesting.
Vernon Hargraves? Vernon Hargraves, smart guy, sharp guy. He's got a personality. But I can't go with Kwan outside of maybe a couple of snippets about how he's so dedicated.
Isbit's second choice is Aguayo. So, you know, we got that right.
Here's the two things they're going to focus on. The third thing is, you know, whoever they draft, they're going to focus on that. And the free agents that come in that are on the cusp of making the team, no question, they'll focus on that. Number two would be the Aguayo kicking situation because that's drama. That's TV made for TV. And the clear number one is James.
We haven't mentioned DeSean Jackson either.
I was going to say my 1A would be DeSean Jackson, mostly because I haven't spent much time with him, but having been there when he was introduced to the media and he spent so much time with the media, I've never seen a new player spend that much time. He is a polished speaker, an interesting guy, knows what he's saying, and clearly is very intelligent. I think he's probably would pick his spots very well within that show, and they'd find interesting stuff about his deal. But it's interesting. You know, Cutter, I'll say this, Ira, and we'll get off the conspiracy front. Cutter has said many, many times in many different ways, his biggest challenge on this job is time management. He doesn't have enough time to do this and do this and do this. And he's talked about giving up play calling, and he's talked about this and that. And he's even said to the media, hey, if I didn't have to talk to you
That's
guys,
right.
I wouldn't.
Right.
Well, you know what? Hard Knocks, that's extra time. That it matters extra time, even if it's just watching the darn show and making sure that what isn't showing up about his team. You know,
when he's trying to formulate a 53-man roster. You know, at the same time.
Yeah, so it's more time.
It's what you call delegating authority.
But I just don't think he wants it. But it's fun. It's fine. I hope they do it.
have some quality control coach. Watch the film. Anything comes up remotely interesting, let me know.
Yeah, give Todd Monken a little TV time over there, Steve. Little Monken, little.
All right, Ira, your Pajakian. Podcast presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. So, Ira, where can you get more savings and more for your trade? Edmore's, of course. At Edmore's Cadillac Tampa right now, Ira, lease 2017 Escalades for just $7.99 a month with zero down, plus get more for your trade, up to 120% of book value. Click EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. EdmoresCadillacTampa.com. They're right there, just west of I-275 on Fletcher. Unbelievable, Ira. Just the fantastic offers at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa. Keep rolling.
So happy to be here Tuesdays and Thursdays with you, Ira. You're just a beacon of Tampa Bay.
And always good to have the Kemper back with us, Steve. We've missed him for a couple of weeks.
Oh, you guys are frolicking with the owners. Drinking top-notch scotch.
Absolutely.
And rubbing elbows, eating your beet salad.
Did we come back with good stuff, Lee?
Ira, excellent. Which is not to be that was not to be unexpected, to use a couple of double negatives.
There you go.
Another question for you, Ira. This one comes from Doug at WBFresh1. Says, Ira, if we do get Hard Knocks, would that be good if we drafted Mr. Mixon? You think that show would show that he's a changed man if we draft Joe Mixon?
I don't like anything about that scenario. First of all, I think there'd be some jealousy from other Bucks that Mixon's getting all this attention, hasn't made one carry in the National Football League. Also, it puts extra pressure on Mixon. Lee, in the unlikely event, Mixon becomes a Buck, and I said unlikely, mm-hmm. and I think you'd back me up on that. If I'm Mixon, I want to blend in the background. Lee, blend in. Don't stand out from the start. There's too much attention on you as is. Now you're going to have the TV cameras and Hard Knocks. I don't like that combination of Mixon and Hard Knocks.
Well, as Steve said earlier, and Florio said this before, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk said this before, and you guys are absolutely right. The teams have the veto power, what gets shown, what doesn't. Let's say the Bucks draft Mixon. This ain't a Bucks deal. Orders come up from Roger Goodell's office. Stay away from this guy. NFL wants nothing to do with him. They'll have a little blurb about how, you know, the Oklahoma deal, the woman-punching deal, he got drafted, and that's about it. The NFL doesn't want to publicize this guy. So they'll get orders up from on high. What's the address at Park Avenue? You know it.
Isn't it one Park
Avenue? I don't think it is.
100?
Might be.
I thought it was 123 or something like that. But anyway, they'll get orders from up top of the NFL offices. Stay away from this guy.
And the owners wouldn't like it very much, Steve. This turns into the the Joe Mixon hour.
Exactly, which is why they'll get orders.
That's not a win-win.
Again, the Bucks can veto whoever. We'll see when the announcement comes from Hart Knox. They might wait till after the draft. You know, frankly, the NFL might say, it's gotten too close to the draft. We don't want anything distracting. Let's wait till after.
If I'm Mixon, I want the lowest profile possible, Lee, after I'm drafted.
Well,
just do your job.
He can help that out by just clamming up and not talking.
Interesting nugget on Nick Mixon real quick. I was listening to his teammate do a podcast, an interview with Samaje Perine, guy who led a career leader in rushing for Oklahoma. And they asked him about Mixon. And the first thing Perine said is a very well-spoken guy. There's more to the Mixon story than people know because they weren't there that whole night. He said, I'm not excusing anything. But he also said the first thing he went to was Mixon is an extraordinary teammate. And he went into that, which is just interesting, just as an aside nugget.
My personal opinion, but he said on that, there's more to the story, but I'm not defending it. Yeah, you're defending it, otherwise you wouldn't bring it up. But that's a kid talking. He didn't know any better.
You'd have to hear it, but
you know,
it was interesting.
The only thing that works in Mixon's favor, and I'm not trying to compare the two.
I'll tell you.
But the fact that the Bucks drafted Jameis Winston, and Jameis Winston, I think, essentially has done zero wrong since the day he landed in Tampa, zero, although the Tampa Bay Times might take exception with that. I'm claiming he's done essentially zero missteps, zero.
Yeah.
And I'm not comparing Mixon and Winston, but Winston came under a cloud, and a lot of Buck fans didn't want Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and but I think that's a bad analogy because Winston was never charged. Never charged. Now, how many hearings did he go through? He's cleared every time. Video evidence of Mixon is damning beyond belief. So I got to apologize.
But it was a more serious situation.
Well, what's more serious? A woman alleges rape or someone getting punched? They're pretty awful things.
Well, they're pretty awful things. I don't think we have to weigh each one separately. But
again, Winston wasn't charged, wasn't arrested, cleared I don't know how many times, how many hearings. But Mixon, the video is there for all to see.
But there were still a lot of Buck fans that didn't want anything to do with Winston.
If the fourth round rolls around and Mixon is still on the board, it's anybody's guess where he goes, because fourth rounders are throwaway picks in this league. And you know what? No general manager in this league, if he has approval from ownership, is going to get slapped around for throwing a flyer on a
That's
Joe
the thing.
Mixon.
You got to get the prior approval from ownership.
All right, Ira, moving on.
So they can't say, well, what are you doing? That's
moving
right.
Moving on, Ira. NFL draft coming up, obviously, 2 weeks. Safety or linebacker? What's more of a priority for this team? And the reason I say linebacker is the Bucks have a hole at strong side, which only plays about 40% of the snaps. However, what about replacing Lavonne David? And I say that because in 2018, Lavonne David doesn't have a lot of guaranteed money left. Only it's about $3.8 million, which is nothing in the NFL. So in 2018, the Bucks have to decide, are we going to pay David $9 million to play in 2018? Is he worth that? Or do we cut ties or try to trade him? And do you think it's out of the realm of possibility that the Bucks prioritize linebacker and think, well, maybe we get a guy to replace David or push David, and if he plays 40% right now, that's okay. We'll develop him like we did in the old days.
Well, Steve, you're talking about making a decision on Lavonne David Lee, who would just be entering his prime.
How old is Lavonne?
Levante may be 28.
Okay.
His prime years, Steve, we've seen indications maybe towards the end of the year that Mike Smith has finally come to the conclusion that the three of us came to, 4 years ago, that, hey, this guy is quite a versatile threat at linebacker. He can do a lot of things. And I think, Steve, as the season went on, Mike Smith learned, what Lavonte can and cannot do. And there's not a lot he can't do. Mm-hmm. I want to see the Lavonne David of that 1 year under Sheridan and Shiano when he was a game wrecker. And I think we might see it this fall. Steve, I don't think they have any intentions of moving on from Lavonne David even in a couple of years.
I'm talking about the draft. So safety, you think, is the more priority?
Well, Lee, and you made this point, Lee, the strong side linebacker has never really done anything in this Bucs system. I don't care if they're playing the Tampa 2 or not. Mm-hmm. But, you guys make the point also. Well, what's wrong with having another playmaker? I mean, can you get one? I'm not satisfied with the troika at safety. I think they're okay. Okay is not good enough for me, Lee. Not where this team wants to get to. Not with this team on the brink of a playoff. I need help at safety. even though the Hall of Fame won't recognize the safety position. And I'm and we're paying the price with John Lynch.
Well, that's because of your skirt-wearing colleague.
Thank you, my man. you know, safety's got to be upgraded in Tampa. And I think you're going to see that in the draft. I'm going to go with safety over linebacker, Steve.
Here's the only catch, and I don't totally disagree with the IRA. And it's not a fake argument I'm coming up with. The only way, and I don't think safety is going to be a first and maybe not even a second-day priority for the Bucs. I don't get that impression. I just don't. I know fans will want to start eating glass hearing that, but I just don't get the impression. If the Bucs thought safety was so horrible, why'd they bring Conte back, number one? If the Bucs thought safety was a problem, why'd they let McDougal go? There's number two. If they could find a linebacker, and I totally agree with you what you're saying about strong side linebacker. That's not it. Never. He only plays, what, 40, maybe 45% of the time? So why would you invest a first-round pick in a guy who's only going to play part-time? You're not. The only caveat is, if you can find a linebacker out there who's also an edge rusher, well, that changes the dichotomy, because if he's also an edge rusher, he can stay on the field all the time,
yes,
not be a part-time player. He can get 95% of the snaps or 90% of the snaps. That's the only caveat I can come up with as for getting a linebacker early if he's also an edge rusher. And that changes things.
All right, Ira, it's getting exciting. Monday, we are back at One Buck Palace.
That's right.
So, folks, you want to circle Monday on your calendar, put it on your calendar.
That's where we'll do our next podcast,
Steve. Put it in your phone.
Steve.
We'll do the next podcast from there. Jason Light's going to have his pre-draft news conference. The team reports back on Monday as well. I think I'll be there at 6 a.m. if they let us, Ira.
Nice,
I can't
Steve.
Wait.
Nice.
I'm almost excited as a preseason game.
Schedule's coming out next week. Regular season schedule.
Regular season schedule. So much firing away. Irv Kaufman gear could be around the corner.
Let's mention I'm showing up for the draft party.
You'll
Steven.
Be at the draft party, but our regular folks they'll see that on Twitter and follow you at iKaufman76 and. Your presence will be known. We don't have to go too crazy, Ira. So, Ira, thanks a lot. We will see you at the next podcast, mister.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.